Welcome to the Finance Path Podcast, where we discuss all your burning questions relating to money, property, and investment for every stage of life. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Attard and Chris Collard.
All right, welcome listeners to our Money, Property and You podcast. You're here with Mark Attard, and I've got a special guest with me today. I've decided to get out on the road, or actually got up in the air this morning and fled the Melbourne winter and headed to sunny Sydney. And I'm sitting here with money management guru Gemma Enright. How are you, Gemma?
Very well, thanks, Mark. I'm also sitting here with my dog, Boston.
Yes, Boston is here.
So if he barks, it's not me.
Yeah, and you asked the question around whether it was appropriate or not. And I said, you know what? The listeners want something different. And Boston is certainly, he's a bit different. Boston basically thinks he's another human, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah. He's a very spoilt dog.
we're sitting out looking over Bondi Beach, which I must say, and the weather, even though it is very, very cold, like I escaped Melbourne to get away from the cold, but it's pretty chilly up here, but it is a beautiful winter's day, and it's not a bad little outlook out there. Mm. So what I wanted to do, let's just give the listeners, I suppose, a little bit of background in terms of where we crossed paths. And it was I reckon it was about maybe 3.5 years ago where we had that first conversation. I'll never forget. I was speaking to my wife about a number of different things that we were looking to do in the money management space. And she just said, oh, you should have a word to this girl that I used to work with. I'm sure she's getting involved in some sort of startup business in that space. I said, yeah, shoot me through the number. And I remember the conversation we had. I was on the phone in our car park at work, and it went for about 45 minutes. And I remember at that point in time, what I really picked up on was your passion for this particular space. So do you want to just give the listeners a little bit of a background about how you came into this sort of space of money management?
Yeah, sure. So it was with a very good friend of mine, Peter, who also was very passionate about this space because he had a very personal experience with seeing the outcome of not being confident about your finances earlier in life. And I guess my own upbringing, I came from a very, you know, modest financial earning household.
Yep.
You know, we went through some different tough times, but you know, luckily, I guess through a bit of commitment and determination, you know, I've been able to really, pave a very positive path for myself. You know, I've had a good career, I've had good jobs. I was lucky enough to be able to buy a little apartment in Bondi, you know, early 30s. But very much observed a lot of people struggling to have that sort of direction. And I guess that's what really motivated me is if I can do it, not coming from, you know, a very wealthy background, I believe many more people can do it.
Yeah.
And I guess that was the thing that inspired me to get involved in this business.
It was quite a different change, though, from where you were at. So you're in media.
In advertising,
yeah, in the media world, living the high life. And you moved away from that and took the opportunity to work with Pete in a startup online money management software business. So tell us again, you know, that's a big call to
it
make
is,
the move, especially into a startup from a relatively senior position in media.
Yep.
You know, the motivations, like it's all well and good to have, you know, aspirations to say we want to help the world, but it's got to be, really deep for you to make that call. So
I know, I often have sort of spoken to people in what we call the fintech kind of space, which is the financial technology sort of startup industry. And, you know, wondering how the hell did some, you know, girl in advertising end up in a financial services company with, you know, a big technology kind of build, which is quite crazy. And I guess the story behind that is just that you absolutely can do whatever you want to do if you put your mind to it. And one of the things that advertising does give you, for those people who don't know the advertising sector very, very well, ultimately advertising is about understanding people.
Yep.
You know, what are the problems that lots of brands producing products and services are solving for people? Mm. And for me, coming into this business, it's the same thinking that you apply to something like this. What is this big problem around people's financial well-being that's not being serviced today by the businesses that are operating not being serviced as well as we thought it could, and how can we really build something that helps that? And so for me it was a smoother transition, if you think about that link, than it probably appears on the outside.
Just solving problems. So the business that we're talking about that you moved into was Cha-Ching, and that was an online money management software portal. Our listeners are probably familiar with other businesses such as Pocketbook, etc., that are out there. So it was operating in that particular space, and it had very much had a slant towards empowerment of women to take control of their finances and provide them with a platform or a tool whereby, you know, you could aggregate all of your bank accounts and you could set yourself some goals around what you wanted to achieve. And it was that automation and basically simplifying and making it easy for people to understand where they sat at any one point in time from their finances. Now, you know, over the journey and over that sort of 3-year period, you would have learned a lot about people, right, and how they manage their money. Can you give the listeners some insights which will probably have them sort of shaking their head or nodding their head, I should say, around that some of the similarities that they might have?
Well, first of all, I think the biggest insight is, as we sort of spoke to customers and we observed, you know, even our own friends and family, money, even though it seems like a bunch of numbers and spreadsheets, is actually highly emotional. Like, if you think about it, you know, money can cause significant anxiety and worry.
Yep.
The guilt that's attached with money, either through your own spending or parents. I often hear about parents feeling guilty about what they can and can't give their children. So in that sense, it's deeply emotional. It's attached to our feeling of self-worth and self-image.
Yep.
If you think about spending shopping, which I've done in the past, I used to be a mad shopper.
You've done well too, from what I can see around this place.
Shopping. But, you know, that is the emotional gratification. You know, I need to have these things. You know, these things are who I am. So that's probably the one thing that really jumped out at me as we were navigating through this business. And that is what makes helping people with their money so difficult. Because you can talk to them about the theory and the concepts and what they should be doing practically about money, but it's the emotional level that you kind of need to tap into to really help them.
Yep.
And that's very difficult if you're an app.
Yeah,
you're a piece of technology. How are you sitting on the couch actually really getting under the skin of why someone keeps sabotaging their financial lives?
It's
very difficult to do. I don't know if you've found that in your business.
Yeah, very much so. And I think that's one of the, we talk about where the space sits at the moment. And I, you know, there's, as a business, we've constantly looked at ways in which we can integrate this technology into an advice and an education-based business.
Exactly.
And what you're talking about there is very true. Everyone's journey and everyone's relationship with money. We run a couple of little tests and quizzes, etc., that we have on our website to help people understand what their relationship is with money.
Exactly.
Because as you said before, it is very, it can be a very emotive subject, and then it also becomes personal. So that one-on-one, you know, as you said, an app, it's hard to tailor and cater and create relationships that way. It requires, and a lot of people want some form of human interaction. And that doesn't necessarily, that doesn't bode across people from all walks of life, but certainly the people that are going to be drawn to utilizing tools like this that want to, you know, improve their financial position or just even understand exactly where they sit. So I think that's the challenge in this particular space. How do we humanize the technology that exists out there at the moment to help people, you know, feel empowered and take control of their finances? I mean, I think it's safe to say, in your background, I'd love to get your feedback, that there's no one in this particular space that has actually nailed the business model when it comes to you know, being able to provide guidance and advice in this particular space. We've seen some players in there. I know that Mint over in the US has often been held up as, I suppose, one of the pioneers in this particular space, and getting a lot of traction and obviously being able to help a lot of people. But here in Australia, I think, you know, you look at ANZ, for argument's sake, they've recently just pulled the pin on their money management platform. or their money management tool. I think it's actually being withdrawn from use in the next month. And financial planners as well. Traditionally, you know, they have neglected this area, this budgeting side of things, because at the end of the day, it's very hard to make a buck in that particular space traditionally in the past. Yet, then you also can see businesses like My Budget that have also made a bit of money by taking over this area of people's lives. So, you know, I think it's, you know, that said, you know, with My Budget, I think they've helped, they state that they've helped around about 30,000 Australians. You know, and indicate that there's, you know, around 2.5 million people in financial distress. So it's not like they've monopolized the market at all. They have been able to help, you know, a certain demographic. And as we said before, Cha-Ching started with a very specific focus and target market being women. So in your experience, who do you think gets the most value out of these money management tools, and what are the features that the people have said that they get the most out of?
Yeah, look, if I can just firstly pick up on that point that you make, which is a really good one around the business model argument.
Yeah.
Because I feel in sort of observing who in the landscape is providing people with more holistic financial well-being solutions, it's pretty slim pickings. If you think about our financial services sector, we're uniquely powerful in the world. We're incredibly profitable in that sector.
You mean the banking system?
The banking and that whole system. Yep. I mean, our banks are making super profits.
Yep.
And, you know, part of their success absolutely has to be because they're very focused on the parts of their business and their service offerings that make them the most money. Those things are largely products and services. So if you think about your relationship with your bank, you've got some bank accounts, a mortgage, this thing. They're not necessarily the things that really look at helping people with that foundational piece of their financial life. And cash flow comes to mind. You know, it's not something that they care very much about because there's not a huge amount of money behind it. So I think that's a problem, like a bit of a macro problem for our country, that we're not providing the people that you think should be providing the support and the help to people to get their financial lives in order are not motivated to do it. So when we started Cha-Ching, we didn't really have a business model in mind, which isn't that uncommon when you're starting an emerging technology play. Well, it's certainly not uncommon today. We really started with the problem.
Yep.
Ultimately, yes, you have to get to a point where you've solved the problem and your business can make money. And Cha-Ching, which is now Money Brilliant, is still on that journey.
Can I just pick up before you continue on that? We talked about, you mentioned you start with a problem.
Yeah.
And we talked about no one necessarily having nailed the business model as yet. Do you think that's in part because we see a problem, but a lot of people, the marketplace or our clients, etc., are reticent to acknowledge that there's necessarily a problem? Like, are we
I think that, trying to solve? Yes, I think you have a situation where people, and for all the things that we just talked about before, this emotional side of money.
Yep.
Much of it is negative emotions attached to money.
Yep.
People want to avoid that.
Yep.
Does that make that less of a problem? Mm. I don't think so. The fact that people don't necessarily want to engage with that right now with the solutions that are in market doesn't mean it's not a massive problem, because financial stress and the impact that that has on families and relationships in the country as a whole and productivity in the workforce. So there's huge studies coming out now that says financial stress is a huge driver of low productivity within organisations. Mm. That's a problem, you know? So really businesses like Cha-Ching and some great, you know, financial businesses like your own business who actually are caring about helping people with the foundational pieces are very, very important to the market and to the future health and well-being of the country. Mm. I hope the business models are there. I feel like in our sense, the one thing that was the absolute killer driver for people wanting to use our technology was the ability to bring all their finances under one roof.
So aggregate all of their accounts. So if I've got an ANZ bank account, but I've got a National Australia Bank home loan, and I've got some superannuation with Zurich or what have you, bringing it all under one snapshot to give me an understanding of what my net worth sort of
is. Absolutely. Yeah. That was the real clincher for us. That was the thing that really drove acquisition for us. And I know there's a lot more work that's being done in that area now, so giving people that insight into their financial lives, because if you don't understand where you are, you can't see it. You can't see the outcome of your bad behaviours when it comes to money.
Yep.
You're never going to be motivated to fix it. Yep. So that's what we essentially offered in this piece of technology.
Yep.
And I think that problem that we articulated very early on, that solves it to some extent, but as we got into it and started to talk to more customers and understanding this emotional dynamic and that people actually need they need education, they need support, we built those things into the business as well. So there's a rich sort of content offering that helps to guide people through what are the steps I need to take, really? If I'm in debt, what are the steps I need to take to get out of that position? Or if I really need to save now to buy my first home, what are the steps I need to do that? So it's coupling the technology with the knowledge and support and education as well.
Yeah, which is the big challenge. And being able to do that on any sort of scalable basis is a challenge. Do you find that as you went through it as well too, you mentioned before the emotional association with money, and quite often that can be a negative one. Being able to provide a tool, guidance and advice that was more aspirational. So I know within the platform there was the capacity for people to set goals and not necessarily just track, okay, well, I'm going to know where I'm spending my money. Because as you said, a lot of people would sit there and go, okay, well, yeah, that's great. You're going to tell me where my money is going. I don't know whether I really want to know that or I don't want to know that.
Yeah.
But let's start to move towards the positive side of things and say, how can I start to create some independence for myself, or just make the most of the bucks that I've got coming in?
Yeah.
Or for those that want to, you know, create something more. Did you find that there was a desire for people to have some a tool that enabled them to focus on the aspirational?
Yeah, I think so. And goals is an interesting area, and again, it's, I don't think anyone's really cracked goals, because if you sit down with people and ask them, what are your goals? That silence is generally
I thought you were asking me, and I was just like, no, mine's basically
that's often what you actually get back when you ask that question, because it's a really big, lofty question.
Yeah.
You're asking me, what do I want from my life, you know?
Yep.
So, look, we were trying to sort of get under the skin of that, and how do you... most people's goals really are so short term. They're not thinking long term. They're thinking, oh, I want to go on a holiday next year. You know, that's about as far as they can go in terms of that. A lot of us are. So how do you actually use that and then lead them into the thinking more long term about that? And that was a real work in progress for us, you know, how to develop beyond just a standard kind of goals tool.
Yeah.
But it is really important. And one thing I was wanting to say is that even though there is a lot of apathy in and around money and people bury their heads in the sand, you know, businesses who are chipping away at this problem of helping people with their personal finances will find that there will be more people who will engage over time. The better the experience becomes, and part of that is about the positivity. It's about providing pathways, it's about providing some rewards and creating these really positive experiences for people, helping people understand that they're really not alone, they're not financial failures, that actually a significant part of the Australian population's in the exact same boat that they are. So there's nothing to be ashamed of. And so how can, through technology and the engagement that you have with professionals like yourself, create really positive experiences for people? And I think in that way, there will be more people that are switched on to engaging with their money than we're probably seeing today.
Yeah, well, that leads me into the next question. I one of the challenges that I think that exists out there at the moment is that there's so much information out there. And when you sit there and you think, okay, well, people are challenged with time already, right? They're you know, trying to forget about from the finances perspective, right? They're just, you know, they're raising families, they're trying to keep their jobs, they're trying to, and so having the time to focus on this area is straight away is a challenge. But then when you do take the time, as I said, there's just a proliferation of information out there. And, you know, some of it's great stuff and some of it's not so great. But, you know, if people are short on time already, taking the time to try and understand, you know, what it all means and how they should get started, especially, as you mentioned before, when results take time, you know, it's just not... it's just not that appealing. And you add on top of that, a lot of people feel like, you know, they may not be in a position to do anything. Or alternatively, you know what, she'll be right, I'm going okay. You know, I don't think it's surprising that money matters in general are often pushed to the back and or underneath the couch. So, you know, talking about when we, as a follow on from that, what do you think, you know, needs to evolve or change in the tools and the services that business offer in this area to get a little bit more, to get more traction and get more interest, you know, from end users? Or do you feel it's a case of trying to solve a problem that a lot of us don't realize? And you know, I've answered my own question there a little bit, because you talked about it. It's just because people don't want to recognize it doesn't mean that it's not something that's worth pursuing. So I suppose my question is around what has to change? What developments do you think have to happen?
I think the key to it is making whatever the experience is, if it's a face-to-face experience, or if you're engaging your customers over the phone or through email or whatever, or you're using an app like ours, you've got to make it super simple. You've got to be able to communicate an action point or a piece of education in a really bite-sized way, because people don't have the bandwidth. You know, they don't want to
see... hey, here's the... there's the media. So Gemma taught me, just listeners along the way, over the last 3 years, the number of terms, acronyms, etc., pieces,
really good marketing jargon.
Yeah, so much marketing jargon. I used to sit there and I'd just look at her and I'd smile and I'd try and sound intelligent with a couple of answers. And then after the meeting would finish, I'd walk away and I'd go, did you understand a word that she said? And like, nah, there was half a dozen terms in it. So, yeah, so well, when bandwidth, you say bandwidth, it's just, the headspace.
They don't have the headspace. They don't have the headspace for it. So the other thing I felt like a technology like Money Brilliant would be able to give to people is, from a basis of where that individual is today, so obviously their financial position and what was going to be the next most impactful thing that they could do with their finances. Not the next 10 things, the next one thing.
Very immediate.
Immediate. And focusing on that next one thing and providing the knowledge and education about just that one thing in the moment that they need to go and execute that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a way to cut through this fear of it's going to take too long. I'm going to get lost in a list. I'm going to get lost in this list. You're going to talk to me about retirement when I'm 30 and I'm really not listening yet.
Not interested.
Exactly, because I'm trying to save for my first home. So it's about understanding right time, right mindset, and really bringing that information to people and the expert advice to people when they're in the moment. So not overwhelming people. And I think businesses who can crack that, these bite-sized, very impactful pieces of knowledge and action, bundled knowledge and action, will create positive experiences that will make people less fearful about carving time out.
So do you think then we've spoken about it before, okay, so there's a tool, right, and there's an ability to capture information, and the tool's job is to put it in an insightful way that's easy to digest and easy to understand. Where do you see the juncture, or where do you see the role of, whether it's financial planners or accountants or mortgage businesses like ours, where do you see their role in being able to, I suppose, be that advisor and make sense of some of that information, or to help them through the steps along the way? Do you see that as a crucial part of the piece, or do you actually see it where the actual technology itself will replace the role of the advisor? Which way do you see it going?
Ooh, controversial.
Is it?
Well, you know, robo advice.
I've heard a bit about that.
Via technology is a massive buzz area, and there's many schools of thinking about it. You know, some do believe the technology has the ability to do an end-to-end type experience.
Yeah. Yep.
Some believe it's absolutely a hybrid, and some believe the technology will never take off. Okay. So look.
Where do you sit?
I personally think it's a hybrid.
Yeah.
I feel the technology can provide really good guardrails, and at that moment where you need to be empowered with your own information and knowledge, you need to be able to participate in what your next action points should be.
Yep.
If you go to a mortgage broker, excuse me,
they're
going to sell you a mortgage, you know?
Definitely.
That's what they're going to do.
Yep.
So you need to know that you've done your homework on all of the different options that you could be taking right now for your investment before you go in there, so that when you go in there, you're very clear that you're now speaking specifically about something that you need, you know?
Yeah, which I think is great, because when you think about that, like what... You know, a lot of that you're talking about financial planners before, and in mortgage businesses as well, that are very much have been traditionally product driven. And it gets to a point where consumers start to, I see one of the passions or the goals in our business is to raise the standard of the advice and the education in these industries. Yeah. And these tools can provide a role in that, because it keeps us to account. It doesn't mean that you can just turn around and say, okay, well, it's product A, B, or C. If clients at the end of the day come in with some knowledge, it means that they can ask more insightful questions.
Exactly.
They can put their advisors on the hook. They can challenge their advisors.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, it raises basically the literacy across the board.
Completely. It's like when you go and buy a car now, right? So you go and you've done your homework. No one's getting sold into buying a car only by the man that you meet at the largely our men store front gate. No one's doing that. So this is a great time of consumer empowerment, and I would just say do the same with your finances, because for all the reasons you've just said, you're going to get a better outcome. I mean, even in the financial planning space, a lot of people don't use financial planners in this country. And many of them are not offering holistic solutions.
Why do you reckon they don't do that? Why don't you reckon that people go to financial planners? What are your thoughts?
I think they're very cynical about what they get.
Okay.
And I think sometimes the experience was really bad.
Yep.
Like I've experienced it firsthand.
Yep.
Again, as I said about our financial services industry, way too focused on flogging products and not starting the conversation, you know, talking about what you want to get out of this, or what does success look like for you in life, you know? Like that's an awkward conversation to have with many financial advisors who are very used to talking about the pointy end of buying this particular product
using terms and language that at the end of the day the client doesn't necessarily understand. So straight away trust is an issue, because at the end of the day they don't know what to believe and what not to believe, because there's also just not that base level of knowledge. Sort of like when I'm sitting there listening to you talk about media stuff and the jargon comes through.
You end up feeling really dumb, right?
Yeah, I did. You know? Yeah. So that's why I had to cut some of those appointments short.
And interestingly, I'm actually a big believer that if more people saw good quality financial advisors, we'd be better off as a country. So I'm a big advocate for it.
Yep.
Look at the US. There's significantly more people in the US that go and see some form of financial advisor.
Yep.
And the dynamics of that market sort of dictate that you really have to, or you should.
Yeah.
Whereas in Australia, you said it before, the she'll be right mentality.
Yeah.
We think we're so looked after with superannuation. We're so looked after with the access to student loans we've got here. We're so looked after with Medicare that we actually don't have to take control of our own financial lives.
Yeah,
and I think that's what you're seeing play out by such low levels of Australians taking up any form of formal financial advice.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of lifting the standards. The whole industry has to lift the standards so that more people see that as a viable channel for them, and therefore we can reduce the reliance on a lot of our public services that, yeah. that we have.
Yeah, the benefits flow in many different ways. It was interesting. I just want to finish up on a point. You talked before around, you know, the impact of financial stress in different areas. It was fleshing through to the workplace. And, you know, Cha-Ching started out as an empowerment tool for women. Mm-hmm. And we see a lot ourselves as well, too. And we've done, you know, a few talks around the stresses, especially within men, in trying to be the provider as yeah. well as be there for their kids and all that sort of jazz. And I was reading the other day, there's the Australian Psychological Society, they run a survey, which is a stress and wellbeing survey, and they've been doing so for around about 5 years.
Yeah.
And the findings, you know, surprise, surprise, is that I think that when they looked over the last 5 years, the leading cause of stress and anxiety in the households was financial stress.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, so because of that, I sit there, and as we've been saying before, despite I'm still firmly in the camp that believes that there's a huge, you know, need for easy to understand and engaging sort of education coupled with guidance. So
yeah.
I think, you know, what we were talking before, does robo advice replace people? I don't know. I just think sometimes when you're talking about this, because of the emotional side of it, and because yeah. people want to have someone that they can confide in, but also to put on the hook as well too. So I think there's always going to be the role for somebody to make sense of the data and the information that's collected. And, you know, I can see in the not too distant future, technology, be it an app, and, you know, I'm a technological spastic, but, you know, whether it's a watch or something else, you know, in the fitness and health space, there's so much advancement in that area around being able to identify and know where you sit. So from a health perspective, I've got no doubt that the same will be available for your wealth, and you'll understand anything you need to know about your financial position. I understand the tools can do that for you right now, but you know, you'll understand better your relationship with money, the investments that possibly best suit you, why, and as you talked about, the immediacy of what you have to tackle right now.
Yeah, that's right.
And also where to find them, and most importantly, I keep coming back to when you can act. So many of us here in this country, you know, and I dare say worldwide, don't act. And when I say act, make a smart financial decision, whether it's an investment or whether it's to not invest as well too, because they just aren't, you know, they're not active. They're reactive. They're not proactive.
Yeah.
And
waiting for something terrible happens.
Exactly, a life event. And that's when most people do something. So, you know, that's what the future looks like for me. I keep, you know, I think this concept of telling people when they're in a position to act and simplification of the information is the most crucial elements in improving the wealth and also the health of most Australians.
I'd
so, you know, what do you think the future looks like? How do you think people will manage their money in the future? And do you think, like, we can become a country where, you know, more people will be able to enjoy, you know, a life without, you know, the burden of financial stress?
I'd love to say that in the future all Australians will be free of financial stress,
but it's not going to happen. No.
And what I would just say, I mean, you talked a lot about action there. You know, we as individuals make lots of excuses. I've done it myself. You know, I don't have time. I can't fit it in. Have you seen how many hours a week the average Australian watches television?
Yeah.
It hasn't changed that much, you know? So we do have time. We do have time, you know? If we elevate it to be the important thing that it actually is, if we break everything down, like I write on my wall in my office, which you can probably go and all through, all the little things that I just have to tackle this week, you know, get it up in front of you. You do one thing towards improving your financial position you know, this week, and chip away at it. Because I think what we've discovered in talking to lots of consumers in the course of building Money Brilliant is, everyone's different, but we kind of...
And just to explain, I know we've mentioned it through this, so Money Brilliant is the
new
version of the rebranded Cha-Ching.
So really we looked at two kind of core drivers when trying to identify people that we could help. We'd love to help everyone, but essentially we had to say, how engaged or disengaged are you with money?
Yep.
And what's your organisation need? Are you happy living in chaos, or do you like things in neat little boxes?
Mm.
And we went for that segment that was in the quadrant of engaged and high organisation need.
Mm.
So I think people need to understand themselves. So where do I fit? Where do I want to be? Get engaged or not.
Yep.
And I believe there's a significant proportion of the Australian population that fall in that quadrant that just need to give themselves a little kick up the pants. And I think we can get significantly more Australians into a position of being free from financial stress. Not everyone, but I say to people, be in that quadrant. You know, be in that quadrant because you're going to live happier lives, obviously, if you can do it, and you're going to be able to support your friends and family around you, and maybe even philanthropic things as well, which is really important.
Yeah, great. Thanks very much for your time, Jem. It's been good to catch up.
Awesome.
I'm very glad that I jumped on the plane and I'm enjoying this Sydney winter day. So I look forward to what the next chapter has in store for yourself as well too. You know, down the line we might be able to pay you enough money to come and run another and run another podcast down the track.
Yes, fabulous. Great to chat to you. Thanks,
cool. Thanks, Jem. Catch you later, listeners.
For more information about this podcast or to ask a burning question, visit www.financepath.com.au/podcasts.